Welcome to today's interview on Brighteon.com. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon. And as you know, I've been a longtime prepper and I've carried concealed for something like 30 years. And in that time, I have broken and destroyed many holsters, especially Kydex holsters for whatever reason. They do not withstand the Health Ranger activity on the Health Ranger Ranch. Not a chance. But I found a holster last year from a company, and this is our guest today. The company's not a sponsor. I just want to be clear, they're not paying for this interview. I was a customer of theirs and I invited them on. They did extend the discount at one point to our audience, but it's called 1791 Gun Leather. And it's not just a leather holster. And this is the one that I've been wearing now for over 6 months. And it's great. Nothing wrong with it. But it's a custom holster. It has a polymer layer sandwiched in between the leather. And you put it in a bag, soak it in hot water. There are instructions that come with it. And you mold it around your pistol. So it fits almost any pistol that you can imagine. There are different sizes of these, but they can fit any pistol, any configuration. It's really incredible. The company is called 1791gunleather.com. And I believe this is called the custom, well, they'll tell us. Let me just welcome the guys from the company. Evan McNamara and Justin, welcome to the show today.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Appreciate you having us. Glad to be on the show and thanks for being a customer. You mentioned the discount. Just right off the top, I just want to mention we do have an exclusive discount code for the website for your audience. It's RANGER15. So if your audience wants to go to the website, check out the products. We've got an exclusive discount code just for your audience.
Cool.
So thanks for having us on. And again, that's RANGER15.
Okay. All right. RANGER15 is the code, folks. And I just want to be clear, I do not earn a percentage off of the sales, but the company does from time to time send me samples for evaluation. So I always want to disclose our relationship. So go ahead, Evan. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. And then with me today is Justin Hoffman. So Justin's relatively new to the company. Him and I have worked together for years in the past. And Justin is our new director of product development. So we're excited what he's going to bring to the table and by ways of new products.
Welcome, Justin. It's nice to meet you here. And I got to say, you're with some good folks there. I love what your company's doing.
Yeah, I've got some good friends over here and I'm happy to be a part of the team.
Well, let me start off by just saying I'm so thrilled to find your company and the quality that you actually produce. Let me just go over this because this is a real test case. Can you guys show the close-up camera? This is the actual holster that I've been carrying and wearing for over 6 months. And are you able to show like camera one, I think? Anyway, not a single stitch has come out. Not a single stitch, okay? It's two layers of leather. It's got the polymer sandwich, like I mentioned. It's got good retention. Here it is. You see, it's fully intact. It's worn in. Yeah, there's some wear pattern right here, which is expected. Shows you I've been wearing it. But overall, it's in really great shape. Guys, I got to tell you, I've never had a holster last 6 months. Because normally they crack and break, and I ended up buying more. So whatever you're doing, it's working. Great job.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. We obviously take pride in the products that we make. All our leather holsters are handcrafted one at a time. So we've got a very long history of our artisans and leather craftsmen that produce the holsters. So that's one thing, you know, we really take pride in the quality. And if something's not going to hold up, we're not going to put it out on the market.
What's the actual name of this custom holster that has the polymer?
It's called the Ultra Custom.
We have
outside the waistband variants and inside the waistband variants of the Ultra Custom family.
Okay, so I've got your website up here. And folks, if you go to the page 1791gunleather.com, let's get our producers to bring it up. Here we go. And then you click on Ultra Custom right there. Then you can see the different holsters that are just for different size, you know, like a micro or concealed carry or full size, whatever. I mean, what do you have? Six different variations of this without optics?
Yeah, so we've got some of them are optic ready and optic compatible. Well, actually, the newest option within the Ultra Custom family is our light bearing holster. So we've got three sizes of that. And again, all those holsters that you see there are essentially multi-fit. So as long as you're buying within the handgun size frame that you have, so something that might work for the Glock 43X is also going to work for your Hellcat or your P365. So you're able to remold that holster as well. So if you switch your handgun, as long as it's in the same frame size, you'll be able to reuse that holster.
That's a really critical point, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because I actually did switch from a P365 to a G43X, and I was able to remold the exact same holster. So this actually saves people money, especially if you're switching firearms, or you might want to have, you know, many different reasons why you carry. Like, you might want to carry in a more concealed fashion because, I don't know, you're going into town or something, or here in Texas, if we go into a different county, you want to be a little more concealed versus other counties. You know what I mean? So you might have a lot of different uses for it. So your holster can save people money because they can reuse it with a different frame.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's really sort of the concept behind it. And it's really kind of interesting technology. I'm not sure of any other companies really that are putting out similar product, but, you know, it uses a thermoplastic that's embedded between the leather. So if you think about, like, you would mold a mouthpiece for, you know, your kid or whatever, it's the same type of concept. It just requires bringing it up to heat around 160 degrees. Within a water bath. Obviously, you want to put in a plastic bag. You obviously want to make sure that you're not putting your firearm in there as well.
Right.
When you take it out of the bath, you insert your firearm, unload it, of course, and you basically spend a couple minutes just kind of hand molding it around all the catch points and friction points to give you that level of retention that you're comfortable with. And then, you know, 5-10 minutes, let it cure, and you're ready to rock.
That's exactly what I did. Your instructions were very clear. And I also put the belt, I put it on the belt during that time and tightened it up around my waist with the gun in the holster and then let it kind of cure while wearing the belt. And that's actually the preferred way to do it, right?
That's the way to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, it's been incredibly comfortable. I got to say, what you guys have here is a game changer. So, Justin, let me ask you, what does 1791 Gun Leather have now in planning for what's coming next?
We've got a pretty deep roadmap that we've been working on as far as stuff that is kind of closer up, kind of in your face and ready to go. We've been working on a chest holster that I really like the idea of, because if you've ever been out in the sticks wearing a pack, if you get to campsite, let's say you're going to take your pack off and go do a few things, probably one of the first things you're going to do when you get to camp is probably go visit the little boys' room, right? So a lot of times what dudes end up doing is they put their gun on their pack somewhere, whether it be on the hip belt or something like that. And then when they down their pack to leave camp to go and visit the little boys' room, they either got to remember to take their gun off and bring it with them, because you never know what you're going to, you know, run into, like when you kind of step off into no man's land. But with our chest holster design, what it does is it kind of rides right at that sweet spot above the hips, but also, can't really see it, but it rides above the hips. So when you down your pack staying behind, and then you can just, your gun comes with you. So that's a really important thing to me. We've also got a line of shoulder holsters we've been working on. Kind of a traditional over-the-top shoulder holster, but.
And do these also have the polymer, the moldable polymer?
These ones don't. We've been considering doing that in the future. This one's just more of a traditional leather holster. I'm going to tip my camera down so you can see it.
Yeah.
So traditional leather holster with the retention snap, but it kind of rides right in that sweet spot. Again, imagine like a hip belt from a pack being right there, and then your gun's kind of right there. So.
Okay. Wow. Very, very cool. And would you say then your customers, I imagine they span, you know, from law enforcement and outdoors people and self-defense, but who really is your biggest segment of customers?
We actually did a study to really kind of flesh that out for ourselves. And our main customer, obviously, is the 2A enthusiast, the concealed carry everyday type of cat, and someone with an affinity towards leather. So leather, 1911s, a lot of times those two types of things go together. Your outdoorsman, the kind of person that can handle themselves, the kind of person that can turn a wrench, like someone that knows how to do things, a skilled person, that's typically what we see is like our core consumer.
Yeah, that's really great to hear, because I'm glad you mentioned that. I live on a ranch and I do my own, you know, tractor maintenance, and I take care of animals and things like that. And one of the things that I found in the past was that the butt end of my pistol would very often get just caught on something as I'm moving around, as I'm working, as I'm doing things. And sometimes, especially like if I'm backing up, and it would get caught on something and it would destroy a Kydex holster. And whereas yours with the leather in it, it has more give in it and it doesn't just break. And one of my fears as a concealed carry practitioner is that I don't want to be in town. You know, I don't want to be in church or in a restaurant or somewhere and have a holster failure where a crack in the Kydex just runs its course and I have a gun falling down on the floor. And it's like, oh, I think I've seen videos of the FBI doing that. But I don't want to do that. So, your holster has been very reliable. It's given me a lot of confidence is what I'm saying, to be able to carry in places where, I know I'm going to have good retention. I'm not going to have a holster failure.
Yeah, Mike, I think the one thing we've seen with our customers, it's not the customer that's looking for just an entry level holster. It's the person that, you know, is looking for something maybe a little bit more quality, a little bit more comfortable, you know, willing to spend a few extra dollars to get, you know, essentially get what you pay for. So I think that's our customer as well. Someone that's maybe a touch more experienced, like Justin said, a concealed carrier, someone who knows how to do things. And, you know, we're not really necessarily trying to cater to, call it, that entry level user that's just looking for something to throw their gun in,
right.
but looking for something a little bit step up.
Isn't it funny though, that somebody will spend like $1,000 on a pistol with the perfect red dot sight that they want, all the custom configuration. And then when it comes to holster, they're like, what can I get for $29? You know,
it's like, those are, to quote a mentor of mine, those people need training. That's the crux of the issue.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, the other thing is, I feel like the retention is better than a regular leather holster. Now, I don't know. I guess that's because of the polymer. Have you heard this kind of feedback from people? I feel like the retention has lasted a lot longer.
It's designed to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just, you know, it works as designed and as intended. And that's really what I think we were trying to get at with that product line is, you know, sometimes if you're, say, carrying leather or, say, a nylon holster or something like that, that, you know, some people just don't have that feeling of security that they're getting the proper retention on it, especially if it's kind of an open top holster. And so what we were looking for was the retention of Kydex, but with the comfort of leather. And that's what I think we really achieved with that product.
Let me mention something else to people who might be considering this. Go to camera one, to my crew. But right here where the holster, right here where it's the trigger guard area, right? So on the firearm, that's this area right here. What I've found is that when you're molding this, if you really press in hard right here during the curing process, then it's going to give you that trigger guard retention. I mean, I've just found that's incredibly effective, and I can mold it to the level of retention that I want.
Yeah, we found the same. The trigger guard and ejection port are really your two best points of retention.
Well, okay, so I got a question for you. Have you patented this technology?
There is a patent pending on it, yes.
Oh, good. Okay, because, I mean, it seems like everybody would want to do this. Like every holster company would want to do something like this. And I'm just wondering about your intellectual property. Because, you know, I've got a few patents on different things, not related to this, but when you have patent protection, you'll be able to really, you know, enforce that patent and expand the market, even license it to other companies. Is that, maybe I'm prying too much, but is that maybe part of the plan?
You know, it's not something that we've really kind of thought about or considered. I mean, we've been sort of focused on our, you know, our own products and what other kind of use cases we could use for that technology. But, you know, who knows down the road if there's interest.
Okay. Yeah.
Sure, we'd consider it.
Well, it's good to have the intellectual property. Let me go back to Justin and ask you this. Since you're head of product development, you must talk to a lot of customers. Do you find that there's a lot of increased interest in carrying now because of the defunding of the police and the increase in violent crime that's being reported? Is it driving more people to seriously carry instead of just having a license and not carrying?
I've seen a pretty good uptick in this, not just from the concealed carriers just carrying more, or obviously what COVID and the riot season did was drive about 15 million new gun owners into the market. A lot of those newer gun owners, like the next step that they're doing is they're, like I said earlier, they're getting training. They're kind of at that crossroad where they're starting to take their first concealed carry permit class, or maybe some of them are going and taking more advanced training at some of the higher level schools around the country. The temperature in the pot, if you will, if you're going to call the country the pot, the temperature in the pot, when that raises, obviously it's going to drive more people to focus on it. It's something that I've very heavily been focusing on, trying to kind of see the forest for the trees and pay attention to those trend lines.
Well, I'm wondering if the average firearms owner in America is now tending to shift more towards actual carry versus just owning. Have you seen any indication that that's the case, or are you aware of any polls or statistics supporting that?
Yeah. So there was a fairly recent poll that came out in 2020 that I paid attention to. And at that time, it said about 6 million people in the country are choosing to carry every single day.
Wow.
If you skip back just a few years, like back to like 2017, if you look at the same kind of data, it said about 3 million. So between 17 and 20, the number of people that are choosing to carry, not just carry, but carry every single day, like you and I, Mike, that number pretty much doubled in the matter of like 3 years. So yeah, when the temperature in the pot rises, people pay attention there.
Well,
especially watching the defund the police thing, like,
yeah.
It makes people realize that they are their own first and last response. So
absolutely. This is why I'm thrilled to help promote your company, because guns in the hands of law-abiding citizens save lives. Guns save lives when they're in the right people's hands, and when people have the right equipment and right gear and so on. You know, I'm coming to you from Texas here, and there's a new law that was signed by the governor that will allow law enforcement in Texas to arrest illegal aliens for trespass. And that law was issued an injunction, but I think it was 2 days ago, that injunction was lifted. So the law goes into effect this Saturday. And I spoke with law enforcement about this, and they're anticipating, you know, there are going to be a lot of arrests of people that otherwise would not have been arrested, such as human trafficking people. And so there's going to be some flare-ups. You know what I mean? There might be some spillover violence. There might be some desperation on the part of some human traffickers that don't want to get nabbed. And so it's underscoring, I think, the importance of law-abiding citizens being prepared for self-defense and to defend their communities if necessary. Do you have any comments on just the overall importance of preparedness as things get more dicey?
Absolutely. I mean, so when things like this kind of spark off in the U.S., all it's doing is it's making people realize the monster that's actually inside the closet. Our law enforcement, God bless them. I'm a former law enforcement officer myself. The importance of our law enforcement and keeping crime and mayhem below the status quo is so important. But when that veil starts to get torn and people realize what's on the other side, it makes people pay attention. For instance, James Yeager wrote a book called The Four Pillars of Self-Defense. And in that book, he quotes a statistic. In Memphis in 2015, there were 59 justified homicides. 57 of them were from civilians. And that was in like 17.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like the fact that civilians have to use firearms for self-defense, it's not something that that generally gets reported, but it's something that happens all the time.
Yes.
So people are just realizing that more and more.
Absolutely. So. Yeah. No, I've had Yeager on the show, and I've actually attended many of his courses, by the way, many years ago, with his very humorous drill sergeant instructors as well. So Evan, one complaint I have though, is I tried to take my AR-15 pistol with a brace and it wouldn't fit in the holster. So I don't know why that is, but apparently it doesn't cover all pistols.
Well, maybe we can have Justin add that to the roadmap, Mike.
We're working on some stuff.
Yeah.
We're maybe not an ultra custom, but we're working on some stuff. We can leave it at that.
All right. Well, very good. Okay. So the discount code for our audience is Ranger15. And that's, what does that apply to? Is it everything that you sell?
It is, Mike. It's 15% off site-wide on 1791gunleather.com. So just go ahead and put the code in at checkout and get your discount.
Okay, that's excellent. Now, I think you sent me a snag mag, but I haven't tried it yet here. So I'm going to have to try that out and report on what that's like. Is that a popular item among your customers?
It is fairly popular. I mean, we've got several different options for that. It's kind of, you know, custom to the magazine for whatever, you know, pistol you're carrying. It's a neat little product. It's essentially kind of a Kydex based product. It'll hold your magazine. It's got a clip on it that is designed similar to a knife clip. So yeah. When you're carrying it in your pocket, you can carry extra mag, which you always want to carry some extra ammo on you, and it kind of conceals. So it just looks like you're carrying a pocket knife.
Oh, that's a great idea. Yeah. And it's funny to hear the word clip when talking about a magazine, because as you know, people who don't know about firearms always call magazines clips. And we're like, No, that's not a clip. But in this case, there's a clip that holds the mag. So it actually makes sense.
Yeah.
It's kind of an oxymoron.
Yes. No, but I like that because I do carry, well, I carry, let me show you I carry an Emerson Karambit with a clip here in my front pocket because of how rapidly this can be deployed just by pulling it out, you know, and you're in position with it. So I wouldn't mind having your clip, your snag mag clip on the other side, left hand for a fast reload. So that makes perfect sense. Love it.
Yep.
Okay.
Something else you can do, Mike. So this is one of our EDC pocket or belt carriers. So the Easy Slide is designed to carry like a multi-tool, a flashlight, maybe a pocket knife. Something that I generally do, because I'm more of a bring more freedom seats to the party type cat. I sub out the multi-tool for a mag. I carry a Glock 19, and then that carries up on the waistline, so that conceals as well, nice and tight to your body. And then you have more real estate to store your stuff. I like to carry my pocket knife on my offhand left-hand hip in case someone were to realize that I have a firearm and go for a gun grab.
Yeah.
Then I can very quickly fish out my knife and pull my knife out and then discourage that gun grab. So that's why I like my knife on the offhand side.
Very good point. I like that. Yeah. People grabbing for guns are going to bleed.
Yeah.
I should do not tell the bad guys, don't go for the guns, especially from former law enforcement who are trained in firearms retention, of course. And by the way, that thin blue line is so thin. People don't realize it, man. I'm telling you, I'm not far from Austin, Texas, and the police union of Austin just sent out an alert a few days ago, and they said, look, we're in a state of crisis here. We've had to pull detectives off the detective desks and put them in patrol cars to respond to 911 calls because the city won't let us hire officers. They've cut our budgets. They've been draining officers since 2017. Now you dial 911 and it just rings. It's unbelievable.
There was a cell phone outage just last week where law enforcement were saying like text in for emergency services.
Wow. Send us an email. you know, yeah. Email while you're being carjacked. Yeah. The bottom line is, folks, self-defense is your responsibility. Yes, we have law enforcement. Thank God we do. But they're being defunded. It's not enough. They can't respond to all the violence that's happening in a timely manner, even when they intend to. So your defense is your responsibility, and you're going to need good, reliable gear. And this company, 1791gunleather.com, is a company that I've just become an advocate of this company. I love their product, and I want you to have gear that works. And so check them out and use the discount code RANGER15 to save 15%. Evan and Justin, I want to thank you both for your time today. It's been great catching up with you.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Likewise, it's great being back in the show. Thanks for having us, and you know, thanks for being a great supporter.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Absolutely. And hey, Justin, we're always open to your new ideas. You have something new you want me to try out, of course, send it my way, and I'll run it through the Ranger Ranch here and see if I can break it or all right. Or see how it works.
Texas is a good spot for research and development, so I'll keep that in mind.
Texas is a good spot. And you know what? Hey, you guys haven't met my security dog, I don't think. Have you? Did you meet Rhodey?
Not yet.
Let me get him up here. Oh, Rhodey, come around. Come here. Over here. Up. Yeah, there we go. This is my nice Belgian Malinois. He also runs security here in the studio and the ranch. And he gives me time to get to my pistol or rifle, as the case may be. Look at him.
Good boy.
Quite an athlete. He likes the camera too.
Is he a veteran?
We're gonna make him a nice custom leather dog collar, Mike.
Oh yeah, that would be great. Let's see if we can get him to talk here. Hey, Rhodey. Bark. Bark. There we go. Good boy. Yes. Good boy. All right. Good boy. Right. He's happy now. Yeah. Good boy. Okay. Now he's wanting to know, like, where's the bad guy he's supposed to attack? Okay. guys, something other than Rhodey's butt for the camera. So thank you for joining me today. We appreciate you and your company, and we'll talk again soon.
Yeah, thanks, Mike.
All right. Appreciate it. Take care, guys.
All right.
Take care.
All right.
Thanks.
And for those of you watching, hope you enjoyed today's interview here on Brightchon.com, 1791 Gun Leather. Get yourself a good holster and maybe get yourself a good dog like Rhodey here as well. He loves it here. Thanks for watching today, everybody. Take care. Also, have you seen these? These are goldbacks, and we've got different denominations to show you there. They come in 50, 25, 10, 5, and 1s. That's a stack of 1s. This is 1/1000th of a troy ounce of gold, and it's embedded in the polymer layers in the gold backs, and you can get them, again, at those different denominations. So it's good divisibility of gold. And since the gold is in the gold back itself, it's not some fiat currency. It's actually a piece of gold that you can use for gifts or barter or trade, even in a local community. If the grid goes down, a lot of people might be using gold and silver or gold backs. Now, if you go to our website, verifiedgoldbacks.com, that's our affiliate site. We do earn a little bit off your purchase there, but what we've done is we've done the laboratory testing. And on that site, you'll see my lab test results, how we tested them using a kiln, using an ICP-MS mass spec instrument, using an acid stone test here as well. We verified the purity and the masses of the gold that are embedded in these different bills. And in fact, I've got here in these vials in my hands right here, this is actually one of the pellets of gold. I melted it down into like a BB shape. I don't know if you can see it, but I've got gold in these three vials right here. Yeah, there you can kind of see it moving around there. You can hear them. And we did the tests on these, and this is the gold that came out of these gold backs. So we were able to confirm the gold is real, it's 24 karat plus, and it actually exceeds the mass that's required. Our recovery ranged from 102% to about 100 and, what was it, typically 105%. I've got the results here. Check this out. Look at these photos. I did all this myself. So if you melt them down, you get this, and then you keep melting, you get it into like a pellet, and then you use an analytical balance in the laboratory and you do the math. It's pretty amazing. At first you get this gold foil, which is pretty cool. And then you can melt the foil into this like BB pellet looking thing. Anyway, here's the recoveries we got. from a low of 102.89% or 101.96%, that's the lowest, to 107% recovery. And the bottom line is, if you want real gold in your hands that's divisible, that is also incredibly beautiful, that people instantly love, they recognize this, they see, wow, that's gold. And they're actually looking at gold. This isn't paint. This is the gold, just kind of made really thin and put into this format and then sandwiched between polymers. Gold backs are your answer. So check out verifiedgoldbacks.com. And there you can purchase gold backs and you can help support this platform at the same time, because we earn a small percentage. And this is a really good form of off-grid money. And you might have gold coins or silver coins. And I strongly encourage gold and silver coins, but a gold coin is a pretty big piece of value to try to trade with. You know, you're at a farmer's market, you're like, oh, I want a loaf of bread. What do you have? Oh, I have a 1 ounce gold coin. Well, that's worth $2,100 now, or $2,200, gold skyrocketing. So what are you going to do? Like, buy a loaf of bread and then give me change for the 1 ounce of gold? No. But if you're trying to buy that loaf of bread with a gold back, you say, hey, how would you like 1/1000th of an ounce of gold for that loaf of bread in this format, gold backs, which actually has a premium over just the raw price of gold, because it's better than just 1/1000th of an ounce of gold. I mean, it's in a format that's, it's beautiful to look at. It's durable. You can carry it. It fits in a wallet or a pocket or a purse. A lot of merchants will say, absolutely, I'll take that gold. And now you can buy a loaf of bread, or you can buy, you know, a bag of potatoes, or whatever, depending on what the economy looks like after the debt collapse. I don't know what it's going to look like exactly, but I know I want gold and silver, and I want to have lots of different options of money that works off grid. So yeah, our grid's not reliable. Our monetary system is not reliable. The currency is not reliable, but you know what you can count on? Physical gold and silver in your hands. That's what you can count on. It doesn't need a password. It doesn't, you don't need to log in. It doesn't need the bank's permission to have value. It doesn't need the backing of a government. You don't have to have faith in the treasury to confiscate money from people. This has value all by itself. And gold has had value for centuries. I mean, come on, millennia, what am I saying? And it will continue to have value long after the collapse of the dollar and probably the collapse of Western civilization itself. So there you go. That's why the wealthy are buying gold like crazy. That's why gold is spiking. What is it now? Let me actually bring it up. Gold. Here it is right now. Gold at $2,128. Silver at 23.67. These are all skyrocketing. Bitcoin is skyrocketing. Gold skyrocketing. Monero is skyrocketing. Why? Because people who know what's about to happen, they are bailing out of the banks. They're bailing out of the dollars. They're getting out of the system. They're going to off-grid forms of asset protection. And that's gold and silver and land and certain types of crypto and maybe, you know, food supplies or ammunition supplies. And if you want food, of course, check us out at healthrangerstore.com, and we've got you covered there. So consider your options, do your research, and make sure you are ready for what's about to happen. Look at that. That's beautiful. That's gold. This is so cool. The 50 is thick. It is very thick, and it's much larger than the one. Because there's 51/1000ths of an ounce of gold in this. And if you could feel it, it's heavier, it's thicker. Because the gold is actually in there. You really can't put much more gold in a bill than 51/1000ths of an ounce. So they've done a great job with this, the Goldback Company. And this is something that has really intrigued a lot of people. And it's another form of having stores of value that are highly divisible and have high utility, more utility than just a 1 ounce coin itself. So be sure to check these out again, verifiedgoldbacks.com. And thank you for your support. Get ready, because we're headed into interesting times. Be safe. Take care.